In Queensland, the jury in the corruption trial of the former Cabinet Minister Gordon Nuttall has been told to put aside any feeling of sympathy or prejudice when deciding his fate. Nuttall is accused of receiving 36 corrupt payments between 2002 and 2005. If found guilty, he faces up to 7 years in jail. This morning, the Chief District Court Judge, Patsy Wolfe, has been summing up. Charlotte Glennie has been in the court. Charlotte, what's the judge had to say?
Well, the judge has told the jury, Peter, that as always, to approach this case and their job dispassionately, to reach a verdict on the evidence, and that there's no room for guessing or intuition. She's also described the task at hand as requiring a great deal of precision on behalf of the jury. They've heard more than 2 weeks of evidence and they've heard from more than 25 witnesses. She's emphasised to them that they have to return 36 individual verdicts as to whether Nuttall did receive these corrupt payments. In 36 corrupt payments that the Crown claims he did, and the payments, the verdicts relate to each of those payments. So the first charges that he received one payment of $60,000 from the businessman Harold Shand in 2002, and then there are a further 35 charges that he received up to $300,000 paid over 3 years from the mining magnate Ken Talbot.
Did she manage to explain this reversed burden of proof, which seems to have become so crucial to this case?
Yes, she's gone into that in some detail and will be continuing to do that this afternoon, talking to the jury about the different standard of proof that exists in this trial than in many other trials. It's much more complex, she said, in that if the prosecution manages to successfully prove several factors in this case, including that the payments were actually made, and Nuttall himself has never denied this, then the onus falls onto Nuttall to prove that the payments weren't corrupt or that no payment was received with the intention of corruption. So Nuttall only has to prove this on the balance of probabilities as opposed to the burden of proof that rests on the Crown, which is beyond reasonable doubt. But nonetheless, he essentially has to prove, if the Crown can prove these several factors, that he was not acting corruptly.
When we spoke about this case yesterday, the summings up hadn't finished. So could you recap the prosecution case against Mr. Nuttall?
Well, the prosecution says that he received these 36 corrupt payments, and they claim that he sold his soul for vanity and greed in doing that. The Crown prosecutor, Ross Martin, has told the jury that they couldn't believe that the men who made these payments allegedly expected anything other than to get value for their money through government business. The Crown prosecutor also concentrated on Nuttall's failure to disclose these payments as according to cabinet rules, saying that that looked terrible because it was terrible and it stank. And the Crown prosecutor has described the whole defence case as self-justification being the prevailing theme.
Well, what is that defence case?
Well, the defence lawyer, John Rivett, has told the court that it was never illegal to borrow money and that his client had never tried to hide what he was doing all along. He said that his client left behind a trail of a blind mole, showing that his intentions were honest. He says in regards to the $300,000 that Nuttall is allegedly said to have received from Ken Talbot, that was as a result of the extraordinary friendship that had developed between his client and the mining magnate, that it was money that was intended to buy houses for Nuttall's children, but that it wasn't illegal to borrow this money. And he's also emphasised to the jury that not one witness had testified that Nuttall had actually tried to influence government business so as to benefit either Ken Talbot or Harold Shand.
Charlotte Glennie reporting there from Brisbane.